What's up, Knicks fans? Welcome to episode 56 of the Worldwide Knicks Podcast. We are recording this episode on February 5th, which is 4 days before the trade deadline. And we're not going to talk about the trade deadline without Mr. Trade Machine himself, my man Brutus from Knicks Spaces. What's going on, my man?
What's happening, brothers? How y'all doing?
Good. We also got Alex and Rafa. What's up, guys?
Hey, man. Nice to see you all. And here, you know. Yeah, no.
Usual chaos over here.
Yeah, usual chaos over here. Gang's all here. Yeah. Let's jump right in. You know, Knicks coming off a rough OT loss last night, guys, against the Clippers. You know, on French Appreciation Night, Nicholas Batum, you know, sent that boy to overtime. Also lost against the Lakers, so the double LA loss this past week, and last second win against Miami as well. So to wrap off a 1-2 week, but you know, a lot of stuff going on right now in Knicks land with trade rumors. Trade deadline obviously is coming up, and a couple other little tidbits as well. So let's jump right in and talk first about Brutus's guy, Cam Reddish. So reports coming out that Cam, who's been out of the rotation for months now, that there was a personal disagreement about his role with, and then Thibodeau just went ahead and you know, said F you and benched him. So Brutus, you and I were kind of talking about this a little bit before we started recording. Just from an optics perspective, is this, how bad of a look is this for the Knicks right now?
It's a very bad look for the organization. Young talent around the league is taking notice of this. Plenty of the young stars have expressed already outwardly how they feel about, you know, what are the Knicks doing, basically, in benching a talent such as Cam Reddish. Cam Reddish seems to be handling it right. And even his protest, they say, was handled, in my opinion, correctly, because he went to an assistant coach who's supposed to be like a buffer in these situations and talked to him about the situation. And the coach, instead of trying to, you know, just appease him or what have you, somehow it got word back to the head coach. And then the head coach, being the person that he is, made his decision to put him in actual basketball Siberia on the bench. And it's just not a good look for the entire organization, in my opinion.
Alex, jump in here. What do you think about this?
Well, it goes back to a lot of things about Cam. I know how Bruce thinks about Cam, but I mean, to me, at the end of the day, it's, you know, he is a young talent, but we're not really talking about a kind of superstar talent here. Star talent. He comes back from injury, throws his toys out of the pram because he's not getting a kind of starting role. Then that's a problem as well. I mean, if the coaching staff, or I mean, obviously we don't know exactly what's going on behind the scenes, but if something personal's happened, then they need to deal with that. And if they don't deal with that, that's an equally bad look, you could say. You know, whereas, you know, they're just pandering to him and kind of giving him what he wants. And I mean, we could probably argue all day as to the kind of quality of what we think Cam brings. Not a massive fan, must admit. Said many times. Yes, he's a talented player. He's been a talented player in high school and college. But you know, that means nothing really once you get to the NBA. You need to prove your worth in the NBA. And yeah, he's had his flashes, but we all know, you know, he has severe ups and downs. Consistency is a problem, and consistency of effort. And you know, those stories about, you know, how he trains, how much he puts into the game, don't go away. And that's not just on the Knicks, that was on the Hawks as well. So there's a little bit for me, kind of no smoke without fire and all that, but you know, it didn't jump out to me as the biggest deal in the world. You know, there didn't seem to be a role with him on the team anyway. But you know, I don't know. I mean, it's sad to see, you know, because we did seem to be building up such a I'm not going to say the C word, but, you know, building up a good feeling amongst the roster, and you know, the guys seem to get along so well that you don't like to see things like this, but I'm just kind of hoping that it gets sorted out one way or the other fairly soon, at least for Cam's sake, as much as anything, you know, because, you know, he did have some nice moments, and, you know, you want to see somebody succeed in their career, so hopefully he'll find somewhere where he fits a little bit better.
So, looking at it, picking up on what Brutus said about how the young kids or other young players view the Knicks, I get it in a way where, well, if they're not playing Cam. Let's look at the guy who's been all over Knicks Twitter, because this is the guy we're going to get, OG Anunoby. A guy who's, well, looks like it upset in Toronto because he wants a bigger role. Does he look at the Knicks and say, I'm going to get the bigger role there? Because look at the example of, oh, wait, Cam is not a good example. Oh, Obi is not a good example. RJ, some games is a good example, some games is not. Quickly is some games as well. Grimes is like, defend, don't try too much on offense. And like, the way we've been discussing this, I think, for a long time, how the way we're building, I don't think we're even we're not going super young, and we're not going full on win right now, because we have young players, but we don't play them maybe enough as a tanking team, let's sort of say development team. And then we have Randall and Brunson, who are playing with the kids. But we were discussing yesterday during the Clippers game how good it would be to have Kawhi Leonard on this team, and we were discussing, this exact team with Kawhi Leonard that we have, that might be a team that, oh, we want to avoid that team in the playoffs. We're that type of team. Right now, we're the team where, yeah, get the Knicks in the playoffs. We have one, two games where they play good, and the other ones, well, they're going to be ass, and we're going to move on. So we're kind of in the middle. So I understand that young guys don't look at the Knicks as the place to develop, because if we are going in with Randall, Brunson, and RJ, that's, well, there's the spot. You can't have a big 15, but we all know, well, you gotta go those guys to have shots. If Brunson, Randall, and RJ are having at least 20 shots a game, well, unless you have 5 seconds on attack, the guys will get the shots. So it's a bit tricky, a bit complicated for a guy like the other guys to look at the Knicks. And if we don't trade any of those three, anyone coming in would have a bigger role as a role that an OG would demand on the Knicks. That's my issue with this. Cam has been a problem for us. And I'm saying a problem for us because he was brought in. Tibbs didn't want to really use him for one reason or another because of the rotations. And now then he used him, and then he didn't use them again. It's a big mess. The Cam trades and the Cam handling of the situation is a big mess. But Cam is not the only one to complain about his way of play or his minutes in this team. This year, we had three guys complain: Cam, Rose, Fournier. And you saw, we always said this, oh, this is just Mitchell Robinson being immature, but he was complaining about what he was doing out there. Mm-hmm. He was complaining. So that's four guys complaining. Obi is, I think Obi is too much of a nice guy to say anything, but okay, he's got to be mad for playing 10 minutes a game. That's, mm-hmm. I mean, everybody would be mad like that. So there's a couple of situations that tie up to the way in the coaching staff. I don't want to narrow this to Tom Thibodeau, because it's a coaching staff thing in a front office as well, maybe how they handle these types of things in players and everything. You can go back to Alfred Payton, how that was a mess in itself. I mean, yeah.
The thing too, guys, is I'm looking at this as just like, how does this look to Bruce's point, people coming in to this team eventually, right? Like, player gets minutes early. finds himself out of the rotation, brings it up to coach. Head coach gets pissed. And then even when they're down a couple of people, where it's the perfect opportunity to put him in, he's not going in. And whether that's the factual, the whole truth and all of that, we don't know that. And this has nothing to do with Cam's talent or lack thereof. It's just a matter of, it seems like, all right, I'm digging my heels into this thing where I'm not going to be playing this kid. And that's what we're seeing. So, again, if you have young talent who's going to come to the Knicks, they might be looking at this and saying, hey, I don't want to play for that regime because look what they did with Cam Reddish, or look how they're not using Obi Toppin, or, you know, Derrick Rose has said this, Evan Fournier said this, he's making a bunch of millions and he's not, he can't even sniff the floor, you know, and it just causes doubt for an organization that it hasn't really instilled confidence in attracting any type of talent here, right? You know, that's the thing, though. It's not like we're the Lakers and we have a history of getting free agents whenever we want. Like, we've been struggling for most of my life, you know, to get free agents. And I think just stuff like this just doesn't read right in NBA circles because players talk to each other. We know that, from, you know, coaches, scouts, trainers, everything, they talk to one another and you hear things, and you just don't want to have a situation where you're putting yourself even at a further disadvantage to be able to get players, because trust me, we've struggled with it long enough. You know what I mean?
I mean, we could have had Mitchell, obviously. We got Brunson. These guys are, you know, good to top level talents. You know, they were dying to come here, you know, so or dying to come.
Do we really want to count Brunson? I mean, his whole family situation was set up here. So for him to say no to this situation would have been very tough. So I'm not going to give them, they get credit still because they had to go out there, but then also look, we still had to tamper to get him. A second round pick we lost because of tampering when his whole family dynamic is set up here. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, he's got to be in that, though. I mean, it's not like, oh, like he just does whatever his dad says, you know, like.
No.
He's his own man, you know. If he didn't want to come, he wouldn't have come. So, I mean, we've got.
Well, let's remember before Brunson how hard it has been for us to attract talent. It's always,
oh, sure.
We want this person, but we get, okay, well, he can't get him. Let's get our second option. Oh, we can't get him. All right, let's get our third option. That's how you end up with Julius Randle. That's how you end up with Amari Stoudemire over the years, right? You know, that's
exactly
how we could have got Kyrie, but we'll talk about that later.
Well, yeah, we'll talk about Kyrie a little bit later. But
even RJ was not the first choice. Let's not kid Zion. Ourselves. Even RJ. Just to this Fournier thing, because I won't see a better place to put it. Did you guys notice they filmed a small bit of a conversation between Nicholas Batum and Evan Fournier? Did you notice the conversation? No, I think it was in English. I understood it, so it was in English.
Okay.
I think he was like, I don't know why they spoke in English, right away. Yeah, why? They're both French. Okay, so Batum went like, hey, how you doing, man? And Fournier just went at him. Just like, here I am, man. Like,
free Evan.
Clearly a guy.
Get him all.
That's clearly a guy who is. Yeah, man. It's clearly a guy who's not happy.
Expressed it. He's expressed it that, you know, he wants to play. So,
yeah.
He's a professional, so he's not making a big deal out of it, obviously, or not too big of a deal, I guess. But yeah, it's just like the guy's on a big contract. He's still in his prime. He wants to play. Send him somewhere where he's going to get meaningful minutes, you know. And Alex, you've mentioned this a million times. Guy breaks the single season 3-point record. The next year, he's out of the rotation. You know, it's just crazy. You know,
but to be fair to the whole situation, I mean, we can't play everybody. You know, and even back to a season or two seasons ago, where we had, as you said, you know, every spot in the roster had, you know, some qualities, something that they could bring to, and we thought it was a great thing. You know, we were like, well, there's two players for every position, you know, three players for every position in some cases. And, you know, that can cover for injuries, and it turned out to be COVID as well. But, you know, it's coming back to bite us a little bit, because, you know, you're always going to get guys that aren't playing now. And, they're going to get their backs up, you know, and contract years, and it just ends up really complex, you know, and I think that's all it is. Do you know what I mean? You know, when you say, oh, so-and-so should be playing 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and you're like, well, you know, instead of who, you know, and, you know, there's only so many minutes to go around, and I think it's quite a tough decision, you know, and a lot of teams are playing 9-man rotations now. That's not just the next thing either. And, you know, as I said, you know, there's going to be 6 guys that are, you know, getting nothing. So it's a tough one.
All I hear is Tibbs apologist, man.
Oh, no. To be honest, I'm getting sick of it myself. You know?
To finish it all, if a guy is not playing in the NBA and he is happy with staying in the bench, get him off the league. So
exactly.
Any guy that is not happy, well, every guy is not playing and says something, I think that should be normal. Absolutely normal. If you're not happy,
guys just playing and they say something. They're playing and they say something still about their role. So it's
absolutely, yeah. And a point to Cam, he's a.
I was just going to say, nobody wanted Fournier to play. Sorry, Rafa. Nobody wanted Fournier to play. It was like, play the kids, play the kids, play the kids. And now he's not playing and everybody's complaining about him not. You know, you're just like, you can't win sometimes.
Well, you're never going to win. I'm
not complaining about Fournier.
You're never going to win with the narrative police, you know? So that's the way that goes. But let's keep it moving, guys. Obviously, the deadline's coming up. The team right now, 2 games above 500 in that play-in playoff mix, right? So how should they be approaching this deadline? Should they be buyers? Should they be sellers? Should they be a little bit of both? What do you think, Brutus?
I say be opportunistic, depending on what is out there. Don't make any rash moves for the sake of making a move. Like the Zach LaVine thing, I'm not with whatsoever. I don't even know if it's actually out there or out there on the table, but do something, and I believe it'll be something minor. They have to do something to correct this, you know, the Cam Reddish situation. The last I'm hearing now is that Cleveland Cavaliers are interested. They want to move CeeDee Osman and Dylan Windler to us so that they could get under the tax floor and they get Cam Reddish. What else will we get out of it? We got to get they don't even have any first to give for the most part. So I don't know what we're getting out of that deal. Help them get under the tax floor, help them become a better team, and what do we get? We just get 2 pieces that probably won't even see the floor for us, in my opinion. So I like CeeDee Osman. Not to say I don't like CeeDee Osman. I like CeeDee Osman, but he's a way step below Cam Reddish in the ability, as far as even defensive ability.
And he's not going to play, obviously, right? You know, if that's the case, even if you acquire him, you know, realistically.
Yeah, he's not going to play. I mean, and Windler's not going to play. So I don't see – we need bench help. We need some type of wing depth, somebody who can come in and play because, you know, as much as we may want to think or Tom Thibodeau thinks, these guys are not Iron Men. So there is a chance that somebody gets hurt or gets injured and has to miss games. Could be Grimes, could be RJ. Where are you going for your bench depth? Right now, he's still choosing to use Evan Fournier. And that's hit or miss. But God forbid it has to be a long tenure with that. Let's say 2 or 3 weeks. That could bury us 100% in the pursuit of the play-in, playoff type of situation. So you need to have somebody there that this coach is going to have some sense of confidence in. That he will play, that can actually play and contribute for us. That's my take on it. Who they go after, it's a plethora of guys. I don't see the OG Anunoby thing happening. I don't think he's a clutch client. Cam is a clutch client. Clutch is very upset with us right now. I don't see them wanting to deliver us another Clutch client. Some of the other names out there, Gary, I think Gary Trent Jr. also is Clutch.
He'd be a rental more than likely too. So,
oh my god,
yeah. So what do you think of seeing any of that? I'm saying our best interest is even a name that we haven't heard about too much. Our best possibility, and that's only because he's injured right now, and that's Kelly Oubre. I think he might be able
to be on that for a while, Brutus. You've been on the Kelly Oubre train for a minute.
Yeah, it's not that I really, really want him, but I'm just saying who kind of could fit what Tom Thibodeau, because he's a 27-year-old wing player who has enough resume in this league that Tom Thibodeau could respect enough that maybe that will get him the ability to get on the floor without all these trials and tribulations of having to earn shit, because he's a guy, excuse the French, but he's a guy who has played in the league and has contributed. You know, he was on Golden State. They didn't win when he was there, but he was, you know, he played there. He did okay. He's actually 20-point-per-game scoring right now. So to have a guy like that that could come off of our bench would be a help to the to that bench unit that definitely needs an additional scoring punch.
That's my issue with it. Do you think a guy like Kelly Oubre would want to come off the bench with the Knicks?
He's coming off the bench for the most part with Charlotte. I mean, he's had to start a lot of games because of, you know, our usual medic needed person in Gordon Haywood. But other than that, he's normally a bench player because he plays behind Gordon Haywood when the very few occasions when Gordon Haywood is healthy.
But it's like, it's Gordon Haywood. They're paying them the big money.
Who he is at this point in the league, though, Rafa. Like, I think he understands.
Yeah, I know, but
who he is.
Looking at it, hey, I'm better than right now. I'm better than Quentin Grimes. I can be more reliable than RJ Barrett. Give me the bigger role. I mean, well, I don't know if he's the type of guy that would work to perfection. I've sold myself on, for some reason, disturbing reason, I've sold myself on Grayson Allen. Like, play defense.
You could just leave right now, Rafa, okay? You could get out of here right now.
but hold on, Rafa. Grayson Allen is a starter right now. He starts for the Milwaukee Bucks. So he's going to be willing to come here and take that back seat.
That was my thought.
Is he starting because of Middleton being out?
No, he's always been a starter. He's their starting two guard.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, but it's true. Yeah,
and it's not like you're going to sell him with my point. He's on the title contender, you know?
Yeah man. I mean, obviously that trade would be the Bucks approaching the Knicks for some players. Cam and Obi or Quickly, whatever. That would be obviously the Bucks trying to upgrade their situation. But the type, the guy is like a Grayson Allen type. He's there to shoot a few threes and play defense.
But he's another 6'4 guy. He's another 6'4 guy. We need a longer wing. We need a player with some size, because look at how we got cooked last night by Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. We don't have guys that size to deal with them. We need a guy with some 6'7", and Kelly Oubre is 6'7" with a 7'3" wingspan. We need a guy with some long wingspan and some height and length to be able to play some of these wings that are in out there now. Another 6'4" short arm guy is not going to help us.
Chris, what did you think about the Utah report, the one Vanderbilt?
Vanderbilt is interesting. Nice. You know, he could actually help us in some small ball five situation. We could kiss Jericho Sims minutes goodbye if we get a Jarrett Vanderbilt. because Mitchell Robinson will come back. Isaiah Hartenstein is going to play, and any other type of center minutes will now be made up, probably in a small ball lineup with Jared Vanderbilt, which he can and has played and could play very well. So I like Vanderbilt. I think they also talk about Malik Beasley in that situation. Beasley is a professional scorer. Again, he's a smaller guy off the bench, but the combination might be able to help us because I think Jared Vanderbilt could guard one through, I mean, at least three through five. I don't know if he could, maybe he could guard some twos. I've never really seen him to that degree. I know he's a good defender. He's 6'9". He's a long guy, so maybe he could play one through five. So maybe it doesn't matter that they use him as a power forward or a center in some situations, but good versatility with his size. Beasley's a professional scorer. So if we made that move, we're not upgrading our talent, but we are improving our, you know, depth.
Versatility. Yeah,
yeah, our versatility and depth. But we're not increasing our talent because you're losing Obi Toppin and more than likely Cam Reddish. Those two players have much more upside than those other two players.
To me, it ticks a couple of boxes for me, that trade. I think one of the glaring things that's with the Knicks is the lack of depth at the three spot, you know. And if we're looking at shifting Obi as part of that deal, then, you know, you've got a guy that can provide kind of defensive backup to Randall and RJ. Kind of take some minutes away from them, give them a bit of a rest, but also when they step out, the defensive side of things can be plugged there, and also just scoring from the bench. You know, Beasley sounds like the perfect fit from that, and it also just seems to be two guys that wouldn't be stamping their feet looking for starter minutes or anything like that. To me, I mean, I really like OG, but you know, he's going to be expensive, and he's going to be demanding a big role on the team. So I think maybe the Utah, if we can trade with Utah, if we haven't burned the bridges there, then you know, I think that may be a better answer than the OG one.
I have two thoughts on that trade, guys. So first thing is, I love the idea of bringing Beasley in. A lot of people have been focusing on Vanderbilt, right?
Mm.
But because they're like, yes. Oh, he's 2 years younger than Obi, but look at how he doesn't have the potential, blah, blah, blah. To me, this bench unit needs a scoring option outside of IQ.
Yeah.
And Malik Beasley gives you that scoring dimension. The issue is you're bringing on these two kind of role player guys, and you're essentially waving the white flag on Obi, right? Which has rubbed people the wrong way, you know, because, yeah. Oh, you draft this guy in the lottery and, you know, and now you're just getting off of him in a couple years, blah, blah. So I guess, what's your guys' thought on that notion that they're just kind of giving up on Obi to get maybe, you know, as far as potential goes, maybe a lesser player in Vanderbilt, but also getting back an excellent scorer in Beasley?
Well, I see it almost like a two for one because, you know, it was Fournier, it was the other player in the trade, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it was Fournier, and I think, yeah, the pick was almost to get off Fournier more than anything else. But, you know,
yeah, people aren't reading it that way.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're giving up a first-round pick to get off of Obi. Oh, my God. You know, it's really to get off of Fournier, but okay.
Yeah. It's almost a two-for-one because there's a guy that's not playing, basically. I know he's played a little bit recently. But, and you're getting two solid rotation players out of the deal, both. To plug some real concerns on the current roster. So, I see it as a positive. And yeah, the Obi thing, say I've said before, I'm not Obi's biggest fan. I see him as quite a limited player. You know, and yeah, people say he's developed a three-point shot, but from what I remember from the draft, he was a good three-point shooter in college. And it just took a little bit of time to kind of get going at the NBA level. But he's a very poor defender. And He's not really got very many like moves basically on the offensive end. He's quite limited in that range as well. People talk about him being shoved out in the corner, but he's shoved out in the corner for a reason. Do you know, in a half court game, he doesn't really have much. You know, he doesn't have any post moves or anything like that. So he doesn't have anything really from the mid range. So I really, really like Obi. I love his passion. I love his kind of. I love his personality and everything, but you know, I've never really got overly high on him to the point where I'm thinking it's a disaster that if he was to go.
It's only natural that they're considering moving Obi, especially since Julius Randle is a two-time All-Star in the last 3 years.
He just didn't account for it, man. They didn't account for Randle.
If Randle's playing like this, it would be what rational NBA team would trade their all-star to give minutes to a guy who's playing 10? If they wanted to give more minutes, Obi Toppin, he wasn't playing 10 minutes. He would be playing 20 already. He would be the sixth man, heavily playing. And that's not what's happening. They're going with Julius Randle. That's the thing. And Obi is the guy who's more likely to be replaced because quickly saved his ass with the last play. RJ and Grimes are the ones who they wanted to maintain, to build, or even get that trade value up, or whatever you want to say it. It's only logical that Obi is the guy to go. And those picks, I mean, you have so many picks. Like, hey, you have Obi, you have the pick, and you have Fournier because his contract is massive and he plays like shit. Get this pick. It's not Obi and the pick. It's Fournier, Obi and the pick. Mm-hmm. Fournier is so bad, you need to add Fournier and
Obi. Rafa, would you do that? Are you okay with that trade? The framework to get
Vanderbilt immediately? I mean, my only issue is, have we all forgotten what happened this summer with Utah and the Knicks? There is no way we are making a trade with the Utah Jazz. There is no way we're making a trade so soon. I mean, after what happened, there were, I mean, I don't know, man. If we're not, it's business, but we don't trade with the Toronto because Masai Ujiri. And so it's don't business trade with Miami because of again.
Pat Riley. I was going to say that.
Yeah. I mean, it's business, but these are grown ass men who need to measure the size of their balls. No, I won't trade with that guy because I've had bigger balls. It's men in business.
Let me shift gears real quick. So. Through this, what do you think about? There's like a couple of people talk about Bones Highland from Denver. Let me set you up. Okay, so personally, I'm like, okay, it's kind of like that meme where it's like, hey, mom, we want this, but oh no, we have it at home. Like we have Bones Highland in like a type player in Emmanuel Quickly, right? So, what's your take on the idea of getting Highland in here, and should they even consider it?
It's not even a consideration in my degree. Is there somebody, you know, I don't know. Because they said that Bones might be available from Denver, but right now he's very important to them. He's their like a bench scorer, their microwave guy. Bones doesn't play a lick of defense. So, and then if we get him here, we have basically his mirror twin type of player. It makes no sense for us whatsoever under any real circumstances to make a trade for Bones Highland, especially if it's going to cost us anything of value. Like, and they're going to want assets for such a player. They're not looking for just a swap of a player. They're definitely not looking. They have a player who's under contract control. And you wouldn't have to figure the only reason why they're looking to put him on the block is because maybe, just maybe, he's expressed a little bit about wanting a bigger role where he's at, and it's not there for him. So therefore, you know, let's make Bones available for, you know, us to get an asset and get off of him because he wants a bigger role. Hint, That's a lot of that that goes around this league. So, again, him coming here is not going to get him that bigger role and probably a lesser role, which is exactly what happened to Cam Reddish. So players are going to learn their lesson. They're not going to be looking to come here. It has to be totally 100% a trade that, one, Thomas Thibodeau signs off on. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense to make the move.
What do you guys think about Highland, Alex Raffo?
I was just going to say,
I love him as a player, though. I do love him as a player, but just not for this squad. I don't think he's the right fit. We're not moving quickly, so.
Yeah, ship him to a tanking team, man. That's the only way. Just some tanking team, give him a bunch of fucking minutes, and then they think about keeping him long term. That's the way I kind of look at it. But go ahead, Alex.
No, I was just going to ask, Brutus, you mentioned about Tibbs signing off and that. Do you think Tibbs has that much influence, given what happened with Cam?
I think he has that much influence regardless.
What do you think happened with Cam then?
They have factions in the organization. And we see that that Leon Rose has a very big cabinet, let's say. He has a very big pool of people that he talks to. There's William Wesley, there's Brock Aller, there's William Perrin, there's Scott Perry, there's Garson Rosas, and on and on and on, right? So what happened was that the Cam Reddish deal came down. Originally, Quentin Grimes was supposed to be in that deal.
Yeah.
And Tom Thibodeau, of course, stormed the garden, stormed the offices and said, hell no, don't trade my guy. And then it was able to be reworked, and they was able to send Knox and the pick, and we got Cam. But that move was basically spearheaded by William Wesley. And we all know that William Wesley and Tom Thibodeau are not on the same page whatsoever. Nope. William Wesley was the one who went over Leon Rose's head straight to Dolan and asked if they could remove Tom Thibodeau as coach, which James Dolan signed off on and told Leon Rose, you have my blessing or my okay if you want to can Tom Thibodeau. But of course, Leon Rose sided with his friend. We have to look at how that whole situation came about. Leon Rose has never been a front office person. He was an agent. That's what he's did. But his best friend, Tom Thibodeau, was a front office person. Remember, in Minnesota, he was the president of basketball operations, the GM, and the head coach. So he has that experience. So who do you think that Leon Rose takes a lot of his cues from? Tom Thibodeau. If Tom Thibodeau, so the trade still went through because William Wesley pushed it through. That's Leon Rose's man too, but not to the degree where he's going to force his other man to do anything about it. So William Wesley got this toy figuring that, hey, Tibbs is going to find a way to use this toy. And Tibbs told William Wesley, F you, because of the fact that I know you tried to get me fired. And here's what I'm going to do to the guy that you brung me. Sit his ass and give him all kinds of hell of why he can't play. That's my thought process is in it. But yes, Tom Thibodeau has a lot of say in that front office because him and Leon Rose are this.
Burn go, Alex. Calm down. Before you go,
I'm fine.
On the Cam trade, if we
it's
are...
It's not 1 in the morning. I'm fine. I'm okay. I'm happy.
It's just we all ask the New York Knicks and the organization, the front office, along the years to pay attention to what's available and try it out, see if it works or not. Cam Reddish is that situation. A talented guy is available. And they traded for him.
Yeah.
Obviously, if Grimes didn't emerge, Cam Reddish would be the natural guy playing there. And that's this situation with Tom Thibodeau in the front office. I mean, I like that there's factions in the front office, like, because there's you can have different opinions if they're all just rowing each other. Like, not that they're screaming at each other, but they're like, okay, I should we think we I think we should do this, but your explanation, I accept it. Let's go your way. I mean, it, if there's
it's
dialogue,
like when we
I think
disagree,
it's,
Rafa. You know, it's
there you go. There you go. But it's like, I'm happy there's that, and I can't say anything about trading for Cam Reddish, especially giving nothing first and Kevin Knox.
Yeah.
I mean, if you would tell me that that would be the trade, I would say, get out of here. You're crazy. But it happened. And, well, Cam didn't work, but it's we took a gamble, an opportunity on Cam Reddish. It didn't work, but it could have.
I mean, I think Tibbs was probably feeling like he wasn't too under pressure to play Cam, because you know he'd only given up Knox to get him, who wasn't going to play either. So, but I mean, I guess if it's as Brutus said, then you know it's a good thing that he stepped in. You know, it's a good thing that we didn't give up Grimes in the same deal. You know, and you mentioned his previous GM. You know, I think we all hope to forget about that, Brutus. You know, he was a disaster as a GM, and eventually, when hopefully we move Tibbs upstairs to some kind of role upstairs, it's nothing to do with the being a GM. It's not him. You know, he's a coach, and that's about it. So, please, hopefully, that's not the case.
Just have the fifth guest, hey, Brett Brutus.
There you go. So let's talk about another player, guys. Brutus, you mentioned Anunoby earlier.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've had many a discussion about Anunoby and what does it mean for RJ if you bring him in, and what does the dynamic look like? So I guess, is there any remote possibility we see an Anunoby deal at the deadline for the Knicks? Or do they just say, you know what, we're not going to mess up the balance here and just stay away and, you know, hang up the phone on Masai Ujiri?
For what they're talking about as the cost, I don't see us making that move. I wouldn't make that move. Not
Which
for
is
that
three
cost.
Firsts, right? That's what they want?
No, under any circumstances, because again, Anunoby has said that he wants a bigger role, and we're not going to be able to offer it, not if you keep your big three. And this is what I'm trying to tell a lot of Knicks fans. If we are going to make a move for a bigger fish, one of those three individuals have to be included in that deal in order to, and not order in order to it to work money-wise, in order for it to work basketball-wise, because you cannot have four go-to players. So the whole idea of this, what was called the quote-unquote big four or mid four or whatever it was just never going to be something that I thought was going to be of any real consequence, because you can't, you know, you got three guys taking about 60 shots a game for the most part. So how do you now divvy in another person when none of them seem willing to be more pass, you know, to pass more? Like, even our point guard, we're questioning whether he passes the ball enough. Is he going to start all of a sudden now because we get another player? When both of these, when all of these guys had designs on becoming all-stars. Brunson still mentions that it's a goal of his. RJ, we know, says it was a goal of his, and he has an incentive in his contract. Julius Randle just made another $1.2 million, you know, no, 1.8, almost $2 million, and a bonus for making the All-Star team. So if you add another person to that mix and you try to break down those shots or what have you, none of these guys are All-Stars. Might be a better team, maybe, if the sacrifice is there, but you don't have the All-Star. So therefore,
let me throw this at you, Brutus, real quick. Assume that one of them has to go for an Anunoby deal specifically. Who are you getting rid of to accommodate that deal?
You know, let's take a look at who they are would get rid of. They are married to Julius Randle and Jalen Brunson. You could bet your socks on that. So the one that would go would be RJ Barrett. But to let him go this year, he has the poison pill. Yeah, and the poison pill means that he only goes out, he only accounts for us at $10 million going out, but $23.5 million going into the other squad. Now, the deals could still be worked out. Actually could be better manufactured in our favor. But that is another hindrance of the fact that he's under the poison pill. But RJ, they was going to trade him already. He was traded in the Donovan Mitchell deal. It was done. They said that the paperwork was faxed into the league, and then the Knicks nixed it. RJ Barrett is tradable in their minds. They are married to Julius Randle and Jalen Brunson. Julius, now two-time All-Star Julius Randle, who will probably also be an All-NBA player again this year. If not second, third team All-NBA. So you're looking at a two-time All-Star, two-time All-NBA under their watch. They're not getting rid of him.
Ralph, why don't you jump in here real quick about this Ananobi stuff?
If you trade, I get that if you're going with, you have to, if you're not building young, because I've mentioned we're not building really young. We're going more of let's get the playoffs. Let's play to win, but not 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that the guy going for a trade, if you get the big star, if you try, but there's the thing, a big star is RJ Barrett and Grimes and Quickly or whatever you want to, you get with the picks. But to trade RJ Barrett for OG Ananobi, to me, is a sideways move. Is this sideways? Because, okay, OG Ananobi always, he's a better defender. I don't think he's a better offensive player than RJ Barrett. So you lose that offensive. Maybe he's a better three-point shooter. I don't know the numbers, but a guy who can, RJ can from time to time when he's, up, grab the ball, initiate the offense, and go through him. I don't think Ananobi is that type of guy. Maybe he is. He hasn't shown that in the Raptors because he's, the other guys are in front of him.
Well, here's a question real quick, Ralph, question on that. All right. would that be a better fit for us, maybe, a guy who doesn't need – because Brunson and Julius Randle love to take their shots. I mean, they're not going to be that non-excited about having another guy who needs to have the ball.
But doesn't OG want a bigger role?
But that's the key. Because
he wants the same amount of shots RJ gets. Instead of taking RJ's shots, he takes Quickly's. Because Quickly is the guy who takes a lot of shots as well. It's his style of play. And playing with that second unit, that black hole offense second unit, he needs to take those shots. So we all been talking that Grimes needs more shots. There's not enough shots for Grimes. A few spot up threes that he's been missing. He gets a few drives in, but he needs more shots, but he doesn't get them because it's all Brunson, Randle, and RJ. And to the point of Brunson not passing the ball, Brunson was passing the ball a lot to begin the season. Randle was still getting into it, so his shot wasn't completely dropping. RJ was in full season bloom, so shit. So his shot wasn't falling. Grimes wasn't in there. Quickly was no good. So there was a point where Brunson was like, okay, Brunson on the coaching staff, dude, don't pass the ball. Your shot is falling. Just go with it. So I'm not mad he isn't passing the ball. Because if he is, maybe Grimes had already had a 30 or 40 point game, but we would be like the ninth seed or 10th seed because we would be not as good. But straight to the point of RJ is like, if you trade RJ for a star and to add to Randle, okay, my point is, if you trade RJ and the guy coming back becomes the best player on the team, no problem, like he's the top, he's the best, and Brunson number two, Randle number three, undeniably, I would hurt, but I'm okay with it. If you're trading RJ Barrett for a guy who won't be the best player on the team, it's a stupid move. It's a dumb move. It's basically it. That's not.
I agree.
It's improving. I mean,
jump in, Alex.
That's my thing.
No, I totally agree with what Rafa just said there. But I think if you're trading RJ, it has to be for somebody that's going to be a huge upgrade. Obviously, there's going to be other things in there. It's not going to be a one for one. But you know, there's so much more development that come from RJ. Yeah, he might not become that kind of superstar talent, but he's still got a way to go. And I think we have to trust in his development. And you know, we've given him that second deal, so let's kind of get behind him and kind of support him and get onto that next level. And then, you know, further down the line, then you could maybe start thinking about, well, what kind of values he got to make that big move. But yeah, just trading him for a like for like player doesn't really make much sense to me.
Yeah, like you were saying, Rafa, it's like, if you're going to trade RJ, you trade him as part of a star package, a Donovan Mitchell package, you know, to use the point there, you know, like, well, we're going to talk about Kyrie Irving in a second. Like, theoretically, that type of a player, you know, without Kyrie's baggage, obviously, but that type of a player is who you're giving up on a young ascending wing talent like RJ for. And yeah, I just, with the poison pill this year, I just don't see a way that they trade him at the deadline. Just because it complicates something that they probably might not really want to do anyway. You know, I think they do want to, yeah, they signed him to an extension for a reason. You know, it's not just playing chess with the cap, you know, it's, they actually believe in the guy. Right. So I don't see an RJ trade coming, which means I don't really see an OG and an Obi trade coming, you know, for the next. Go ahead, Alex.
No, I was just going to say, Brutus mentioned about, you know, being half out the door in the Mitchell trade anyway, but I think that trade broke down for a number of other reasons. I don't think it was, you know, to do with RJ. I think, I think that would have gone through if it was just Utah would just kept demanding more and more and more and more, and it just kind of got to a point where it was getting too much. I think, which possibly suggests about, we talked about this last week about, you know, the perception of RJ's value around the league is maybe not as high as we think it is. But that's, again, what we just touched on there, and that, you know, this is not the right time to sell, you know, and you know, we need to kind of develop, you know, get them further down the line before we start thinking about it and make the rest of the leagues take notice.
One last player to talk about before we jump into the Kyrie stuff. A few rumors. I feel like they've died down a little bit about Sadiq Bey from Detroit. That team obviously is full on in the tank right now after Cade Cunningham went down, and they're just kind of seeing what they have in Ivy and some of these younger guys, you know, before they move on. So, what do you guys think about the possibility of acquiring Sadiq Bey? What would it take? Is it something that makes sense? I feel like he probably wants to be a starter. So if you do that, you know, Grimes kind of goes to the bench, right? So what do you guys think about the idea of getting Sadiq Bey?
Yeah, he's always somebody that's impressed me when we've played them. You know, but yeah, I don't. If, you know, if he's coming here as a want to be a starter, I don't think that's maybe that, you know, he's going to get that here. But so there might be that kind of fit issue. But yeah, I do like him as a player. But again, you know, what, you know, whose place is he taking? Who are we giving up? All that kind of usual questions. So, Bogdanovic is the one at the Pacers. The Pistons that is really interesting. They're making noises about kind of wanting to keep him, but I don't know if that's just to try and kind of, you know, stoke up a kind of bidding war.
It's weird, man. It's like one minute he's always in these rumors, and then another minute you got all the piston circles saying that they really like him and want to keep him. But like, why would he want to stay on a tanking team? It's just a very weird situation.
How did they get him for that cost in the first place? I mean, why can't we kind of get a deal like that from the Jazz? Do you know why do the Jazz give him up cheaply but not anyone else?
Yeah, I mean, Danny Ainge must have something against us from back in his playing days. This is my only logical conclusion to that.
Yeah, must be.
What you got, Rafa?
Oh, yes, for sure.
I'll go, Bruce. I'm sorry.
No, I was saying, oh, yes, for sure. Danny Ainge don't like us.
Yeah.
Nobody likes him, so it's
we. Well, yeah, I was going to say, we don't like him either, so.
It's mutual.
Likes him. Yeah, man. But Sadiq Bey, I mean, to your point about him being wanting to be a starter, every young guy wants to aspire to be a starter in a team in some way, shape, or form until they get into a certain age and they'll say, okay, maybe I'm a bench player. I'm a rotational guy right here.
Maybe they become Kelly Oubre and decide that they can only come off the bench.
There you go. I mean, but a guy like Sadiq Bey coming here, he would understand, okay, I'm playing off the bench, but I know I have to work to prove myself. And this is a different situation. Like, he doesn't need to be the best player to out on the floor with Detroit. He needs to be one to add and to help us. So even him being there might be a good situation, but I don't know what we would have to give up for him. Like, if picks, Obi, I don't know. I think I'm saying Obi because would they take Evan Fournier and a couple of picks for him? I don't mean, if Bogdanovic, they trade Bogdanovic and replace him with Fournier, I don't know, man.
I mean, they'd have to hit the salary floor if they got rid of Bogdanovic. I mean, what's their big money tied up in right now, honestly?
There you go. It would be Evan Fournier, maybe. They take Fournier and Rose is back there and Rose gives off the Pistons and signs somewhere else. I mean, I'm not entirely sure what we would need to give up. Like, the Pistons are in a weird situation, so I don't know. Maybe they would take on Fournier. Because Hartenstein is playing good again, so he's not a trade guy.
It's only a matter of time, man. It's only a matter of time.
Yeah. I mean,
all right, so
yeah,
so we'll see what happens at the deadline. Of course, you know, it's going to be an interesting deadline, as it always is. But the first domino has really kind of fallen here with this with this deadline, right? You know, some might argue that was Rui Hachimura last week, but no, it was Kyrie Irving, who was traded today, like about an hour before we started recording, to the Dallas Mavericks, not the LA Lakers, like a lot of people thought might happen. So Kyrie is traded to the Mavs for Spencer Dinwiddie, who goes back to Brooklyn, Dorian Finney-Smith, who just signed an extension last year, a 2029 first-round pick, and 2 second-round picks, I believe, in 2027 and 2029. So, and I believe the Mavericks also get back Markieff Morris. So the
Nets have reset the market. They have reset the market. Yes.
Thank God, right?
Only one first-round pick for Kyrie Irving? That puts everything back in perspective. You know, no more 5 first-round picks
for Rudy. let's jump right to you. So what does this mean for Brooklyn? Like, what is this? What happens with them now?
They're toast. They're absolutely toast. I know that they're going to still say that they're in here trying to compete. I would look for a next move coming. If it doesn't happen this deadline, I will look for KD to be definitely gone by next summer. He will not play for the Brooklyn Nets next year. That is 100%. So right now it means I pretty much think they're toast because Ben Simmons is a shell. Kid's averages 7 points a game. Former All-Star. Cooked. I mean, cooked. Oh, forget about it, man. Spencer Dinwiddie can't shoot like Kyrie Irving. So he's not the same type of player. It's not the same dynamic. Yes, Dorian Finney-Smith, a nice role player. So, okay, are they going? They're going to put that much more on Kevin Durant, who's just coming back off of a serious injury, to try to hold this team ahead. I can see them getting caught by a few teams. They are still going to be good enough to win some games, but they are not a threat for the championship any longer, in my opinion.
if they did win the championship, I think KD would finally put that he only wins with other All Stars to bed.
Put that narrative to bed. That's for sure. Yeah.
That would be one of the great title runs if he did that. So
I don't think likely, they win
but
title.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think he's gone as soon as he can.
He's got to be pissed.
I mean, are they gonna pick up the phone and talk to Phoenix again? I mean, is that a possibility?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think Aiden's still not quite right in Phoenix, so he would seem the obvious one to try and help the salaries work anyway. So
it could be Chris Paul, to be honest. You know, because he's fallen off a cliff from it was only a matter of time. Obviously, older player. And
His deal's non-guaranteed next year as well. So, if they really want to kind of blow it up in Brooklyn, then that would be a great move.
But that's another situation that I'm looking at very closely is the Phoenix Suns.
Mm.
Let's take a look at them. They have a new ownership group.
Yep.
A guy just put out $4 billion. And there's a very, very good chance that this team is not a title contender. They are playing much better recently, and they haven't got Devin Booker back. So I think they may still try to hold on to it for this year. I don't know if they're going to make a big move. Like maybe they will make the big move for Kevin Durant, but I don't think it'll be for Chris Paul. They'll want to add Kevin Durant to Chris Paul and Devin Booker. So, I mean, Ayton goes to
Ayton Bridges, maybe.
Could be, and maybe they still run with it. But if the Suns fail, look for that situation to blow up, where Devin Booker and or Mikal Bridges could become available going into next year, because you're just putting out $4 billion. They're heavy into the luxury tax. So unless they do something, if they win it all this year, then it could be worth it, even as a brand new owner who just put out $4 billion. But if they don't win, why would you tie yourself to that kind of money and outlay and not just try to rebuild that thing out there in the desert? You know, you can't totally, like, Phoenix has to be somewhat careful. I don't know how their fan base would take a full rebuild, but I don't think they're going to run it back with Booker, Bridges, Ayton, and Chris Paul. So I believe that if they don't win it all this year, that there will be a breakup of that situation.
Plus, new owners generally love to make a big move. I mean, we saw it in Minnesota. They have new owners, so they made the move for Gobert. You know, they just want to make a splash. They want to show that they're serious. They want to win now. Mark Cuban did it when he bought the Mavericks. You know, it's part of the script, right? You know, it's like, oh, I bought a new team. I got to make a big deal.
How deep is the guy who bought Phoenix? Oh, his pockets is pretty deep. Yeah, he's a mortgage guy. Yeah, his pockets got to be busted wide open. But it just depends. Some guys say, like, man, this is a big investment. Now, am I willing to pay into not just the salary cap, but the luxury tax? Or, and we're not going to win? Or do I want to try to scale it back, recoup some money, and then start going more in? It depends on what their philosophy is. Most, like you said, they want to take a quick stab at it. And that quick stab might just be this year. He might roll the dice and maybe try to make a move for Durant or something like that. Or he might just keep the team together as it is and see if they could do it. But if not, look for that situation maybe to blow up in the summer where Devin Booker could be the guy that the Knicks could target as a CAA guy and Julius Randle's college roommate.
Britt, that was exactly what I was going to ask you, Brutus. What would you give up for Brutus? What would you give up for Bruce? Oh my God. Everything I'd give up.
What I give up for myself? For Booker, first now. For Booker?
What would you give up for Booker?
Man, they could have almost anything they want, but it's not going to involve Randle, because again, if Booker wants to come here, guess who it's going to want to be? To play with his college roommate, Julius Randle. It's not going to be to be traded for him. It's going to be to play with him. And of course, Jalen Brunson would go nowhere. So that would become our big three. And then it's just a matter of, I would have to believe RJ goes in that deal. Because the big three, again, will be Booker, Randle, and Brunson. So RJ will more than likely have to be moved, and some other ancillary pieces, whatever it is that could make the salary.
RJ quickly four firsts. That's
it will be three to four firsts. You know, two unprotected, and then maybe even a couple of pick swaps.
Yeah,
you'd set something similar to the Mitchell deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I mean, that's
similar
even
level.
Though Kyrie reset the market, that's still the cost.
Yeah, for Booker. Yeah, because Kyrie has some
baggage.
Yeah, some circumstances behind him as the reason why.
No idea.
Yeah,
I mean, I was going to say this before, but totally blew my mind. Like, there's a lot of teams right now playing that could blow up in the offseason. So I would like the Knicks not to get rid of assets, so they could have the assets to make trades in the offseason, like in the draft or whatever. Because if teams are going to blow up, even if we can't get a Devin Booker, because the Suns trade everyone but Devin Booker. If we could trade for a guy like Michael Bridges, that's the guy we probably want. It's the type we want here, a guy who can defend pretty well and, make shots as well.
Yeah, but
so that's why I want him to.
That's why Phoenix will probably want to hold on to him.
Can they build around him? Phoenix is toast.
He's actually showing it right now while Booker is out. His scoring has been up crazy. And they've started to find their footing as far as winning with him being pretty much the number one guy. So Mikal Bridges is showing that he's that guy. He's another guy that I would like, because Jalen Brunson and him is close. Mm-hmm. I actually put together a deal to try to get both of them. I know it would be insane, but I would love it. Because
that backcourt, man, that backcourt defense would be whew.
Yeah, but Bridges, we'd have Bridges, who is a guy who doesn't need the ball, right? And you have Mitchell Robinson still, who's your defensive anchor. And Booker has actually been better defensively. They talked about it last year, that he actually played very good defense. And we know he's a number one, because in the finals, he was averaging like 30-something, was it? I know he had some really big games in the finals and in those playoffs for the Phoenix Suns when they went to the finals. So we know he has that experience. So that's why I feel that he could be a true number one here with Julius, a two-time All-Star, and Brunson, who's basically an All-Star, in my opinion. Even though he didn't earn it, I'm going to say he's an All-Star. That would give us a big three of merit, because all three guys would be accomplished. Booker is a 2-3 time All-Star, went to the finals. Julius Randle, 2-time All-Star, probably going to be second 2-time All-NBA. And Jalen Brunson, like I said, I believe is an All-Star. That is a legitimate big three that, with the right pieces around them defensively, can compete for a championship, in my opinion.
Let's go back.
Wait, Brutus, with Tom Thibodeau or no?
No, without Tom Thibodeau as a coach. I would believe it won't be him as the coach, but they're going to try it. They may go 1 year with him, and when we get wiped out in the finals, they'll see that we're going to need another level to go to, and they'll get us a different coach in here. And that's usually how it works. One coach takes you right to somewhere near you, and then you get another coach to bring you over the top. We're definitely going to need that here, because Tom Thibodeau is not good enough with the X and O's to win in a final series, 7 games, in my opinion.
Let's shift back to this Kyrie stuff. So we talked about Brooklyn. What about the Mavs? I mean, are they like the West feels a little wide open right now, right? Are they kind of favorites to get to the conference finals right now?
I mean, is that fit between Irving and Doncic? How is that going to work?
Well, it's going to work the same way Jalen Brunson worked, right? You know, I mean, that's the role, right? Well, you know, the catch and shoot and sometimes initiate role, you know. I mean, Kyrie's Kyrie, right?
Irving is not – well, yeah, Irving is not Brunson to be – not be disrespectful, but, well
– they're slightly different egos.
And Irving's a walking problem. He's a walking problem, basically. He is. And Doncic is – I feel like it's the opposite. He's the guy just playing some basketball, just chilling, just having fun.
Ask just beating the Knicks dramatically.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, Porzingis – well, Porzingis is – poor Zingas. I mean, it's a weird. I don't know if it works. It's well. Be careful. The league can be careful offensively. Offensively, well, just they have a few pieces, but offensively can be an absolute juggernaut right there. That backcourt. If Doncic is hard to guard, Kyrie Irving. I mean, it's two different, so different styles of play. Like Doncic just slows it down. I mean, he can have that burst, but he slows you down, like rocks you to sleep and then blows by you. And Irving, like with all those handles and the plays, I mean, can be an interesting thing to happening in Dallas. I mean, Texas for Kyrie, man, it's the place to, well, to be. That's,
yeah, I mean, we gotta remember that Kyrie in Cleveland often operated as the secondary ball handler in many situations, because when you have LeBron, LeBron's your primary ball handler, right? The question becomes, because he deferred to LeBron, he deferred to Durant, you know, a lot of the times, but the question is he going to defer to Luka, right? That's my big question. You would think so, so to me, I mean, I look at the West right now, Curry just went down with the injury, he's going to be gone for a few weeks. Memphis is kind of up and down, you know, and you know, why not, you know, this is the move that the Mavs are saying, that we're going to push it, all the chips into the middle. Let's go ahead and try to win a championship this year. And what happens in the offseason, what happens? I don't know. I mean, maybe he's a rental and maybe he's not. Well, yeah, I guess we'll see what happens.
To me, it's it reminds me of, you know, when Harden showed up in Brooklyn. I know you were saying about Durant, sharing the ball with Durant, but when, you know, the Harden-Kyrie dynamic was just horrible, do you know? Like, and I can't see anything different happening in
but Dallas. Dallas doesn't have a KD. I mean, that's three initiators. They only have two. It's a difference.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But, yeah. I mean, yeah, Doncic has got like a 99.9%, you know, possession stats or whatever. You know, he's
leads the league in usage, right?
he does not give up the ball really, and you know. It's just going to be, I just think it's such a horrible fit. I just don't see it. And you mentioned about Cleveland, you're right about LeBron. But yeah, I mean, obviously you kind of, you give it up for LeBron, you know, he's LeBron. But, you know, before LeBron showed up in Cleveland, Kyrie was, you know, Cleveland were a disaster for Kyrie. Do you know, he's not like...
He's a Robin, not a Batman, man. That's basically what it is. He's always been that way.
Yeah, and I think you saw in the Nets this season, you know, when him and KD are clicking, you know, it's a dynamic that can work, you know, and but yeah, that when Harden came in, just that ball handling thing, just as I said, I just don't think it's going to work, and I really really hate the Mavs, and
like, let's not
I really want it to go wrong.
Let's not forget that the Nets with KD and Kyrie. We're like 18-4 when playing together at first stretch. So the guy still got the goods as much as we can't stand him. Brutus, go ahead.
Yeah, a lot of it will depend on that relationship, how Kyrie views Luka. If Kyrie views Luka as that guy, then if he sits back and takes to his Robin role that he's very good in, then everything should go pretty much fine. Now, Luka's still a young guy. Like when Kyrie went to Boston, you see how he went there. He went there looking to take over, even though like Jason Tatum in there. Now, they were young players there, and they was on the ascent, but they had not yet reached the levels where Luka has up to this point. So does Kyrie value Luka as a in the mold of a, let's say, a LeBron and a KD, to whereas he would just rightfully sit in his second seat? If that's the case, it could work. They could be very dangerous. It's going to be a lot of your turn, my turn, because that's just how they play. It's going to be similar to like how we play with Julius and Jalen. Your turn, my turn. Their thing is, do they have another person who could really contribute? They need shooters to open up the lane for Kyrie and for Luka to do their thing, even though they could get their shots regardless. They'll be able to figure out how to get shots against no matter what the defense is. But you got Tim Hardaway Jr. You got Christian Wood. Very good piece. But again, this team could be very defensively challenged, although Jason Kidd somehow has them playing very good defense, but now they're going to be without Finney Smith, who was a primary guy in their defense picture.
It's a bigger loss than people are making it out to be honest. He very important to them last year on their playoff run. Yes. I think another thing to take account here, guys, is Kyrie is still...
You're forgetting, guys. Guys, you're just forgetting that they... Frank Ntilikina is there to play defense, guys.
Locking them down.
What are you guys talking about? They made this trade without giving up the Frank the Tank Commander.
Oh, my goodness, on, man.
It's like the game plan's like, right, Frank?
And they still got Theo Pinson?
You got him.
Oh, man, they're good to go.
Him, and you got him. Okay.
Theo Pinson, him. Yeah, is this a title contender?
If I ever saw one. One other thing, if this works,
Frank Ntilikina will be a champion. Think about this.
There you go. He'll get a ring before any of our players.
Phil Jackson was right all along.
Well, one other thing to keep in mind, guys, is like Kyrie's still in the process of rehabilitating his value, right? Like he's going to be unrestricted at the end of the year, so it really serves him well to be an upstanding citizen the rest of the way here. So I'm curious to see how that materializes. Obviously, we know sometimes maybe he can't help himself.
So they're not going to do a max extension right away? I figured Mark Cuban would be standing there with the contract to give to him. But if he doesn't, then yes, they Kyrie is going to have to show himself in the best light in order to get a contract. So based on this low price that they paid, do you think that they did this to have Kyrie as a rental, understanding that Kyrie is more than likely not going to re-sign with them next year? Do you think that's a reason that maybe the price was much lower than what it should have been for a guy like Kyrie? Because
I think so, yeah.
Unless, if I'm Dallas, either I'm giving him the contract now and he had to agree that, yes, we're going to extend you, and he has to agree to that extension, then we make the deal. Or, okay, I'll give you this first-round pick in these couple of seconds because I know it's just a rental. What do you guys think it was? If they're not giving him the contract now, then that means he's a rental, and more than likely he's not re-signing with them. He wants to be a Laker, is what I'm understanding. Yeah. So if the extension is not on the table right now, then that means it more than likely isn't going to be, which means that they just paid whatever price they paid was as a rental.
So it's an unprotected pick as well. So
unprotected big for them risk. It should still be pretty low. You know,
Doncic will be in New York by that point, so yeah. I think he'll be all right.
We hope.
Yeah, Dallas won't extend him in January, and then we'll pick him up unrestricted. Yeah. Where's Doncic's family just now? Has he got any coaches in his family? We could hire them.
Oh, God. Yeah. Here we go again.
Well, the earliest that Doncic could really get out, I think, is 2027. But yep, he'll still be fairly young. So It's a good play, but are we willing to wait until 2027?
We have waited a long time, and what's four more years of waiting?
Yeah, right?
Come on.
But if Doncic gets this chip with Kyrie or something like that, then you could look for him to be a lifer the same way that Nowitzki was. Yeah.
So Bruce, RJ doubtful for tonight, so it looks like they're holding him out before the trade deadline, just in case.
Oh, there
it
is.
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah.
Sorry,
let me tell you guys what's going to happen if RJ gets traded. We will no longer have a podcast because Rafa will stop being a Knicks fan. That's what's going to happen. He's done. Look, if RJ's gone, he's gone. That's just it's a package deal.
I will need a mourning period. I will be on the podcast all dressed in, well, black, more black even. Like,
Anybody know what station the game is on? Because it should be about to start here now.
I think it's an ESPN game.
ESPN is still showing the daggone Pro Bowl.
Oh, okay. Okay. Quick, since the game's about to start.
Game at all.
it does say ESPN on League Pass.
Yeah, it says it everywhere, and they're not on MSG tonight, so.
We'll have to figure that out. But let's go ahead and wrap it up here, guys. Let's make some game picks this week. So four games, including the one tonight. So Philly, then at Orlando, which might have some suspensions going on from what happened the other night against Minnesota. Mm-hmm. In Philly, and then home for Utah. So we can start with the guest, Brutus. How do you think the team's doing this week?
Yeah, well, the suspensions already was handed down. I think Mo Bamba got four games out. Mm-hmm. So we will miss the incomparable Mo Bamba. And that means we will definitely get a dub. No. Orlando is a team on the rise. They are definitely playing much better than when we seen them earlier in the season. Got to beware of them. They have a lot of young talent. And this coach plays them all, sometimes to the detriment of the team. So could we be beaten by them? Hell yeah. Will we be beaten by them? We better not. That's the only thing I can say to that. Tonight is going to be a tough game. And if RJ Barrett is being held out tonight,
Don't say held out.
He's injured. Okay, he's injured. He's hurt. He's sick. He's something. He's not playing tonight.
Thank you.
That's why I couldn't make a three last night.
Without him, we have a very limited chance of winning against the Sixers without RJ Barrett playing at a high level. I mean, it's one thing for RJ to play. It's another thing, you know, because sometimes he's really hot and then he's really not. So we would have needed him playing and be really hot. With him not playing, I think this is an L. Although I'd like to see us, I never root for us to lose. So, you know, trust me on that.
But just trying to be realistic about it.
The way last night ended up for us, I think tonight we're still going to be reeling, especially without RJ Barrett. Against the Magic, it could go either way, but I'm believing we'll get the dub. Hopefully RJ is back for that game. Who else did you say we got? I know you said the Jazz.
At Philly, and then Jazz tonight.
Oh, Philly again. Hopefully we get one of these two Phillies. So I'm hoping that we could go 2-2. Okay. I'm thinking we could go 2-2.
Cool. Alex?
I thought it was just the three games. What was the fourth? So the two Philly Utah. Games.
Orlando Utah and Utah. And
Orlando.
Those should be two wins.
Sorry. Yeah. I'm going to go 2-2. I think we'll drop both the games against the Sixers. I don't like the matchups against the Sixers. Embiid especially is just going to...
7,000 free throws is what he's about.
Yeah. Exactly. He's playing out his mind at the moment. And I'd like to think we have a more of a good shot at the Magic and Jazz. So I'll go for 2-2.
Yep. Rafa?
I feel nothing but misery after this conversation about trading RJ Barrett. So I think we're going to win one game this week. You guys brought me misery. Game? This is what you did.
Which game?
Which one? Probably the second Sixers game, because we're going to win, lose tonight. We're going to lose against Orlando. Everybody's going to shit on Tibbs, and so we're going to get back a big win, because that's how it goes.
Now, guys, the Orlando game is the day after the deadline. So if there are deals made, there might be a situation where those guys might not be available. So right, that could exactly. be an L, you know. So,
so Booker just comes in for the second Sixers game? Or?
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. Yeah. So I'm going to agree with Alex.
I hate all of you. I hate all of you.
And we didn't say who was going to be traded. You know,
I got my second this one here just woke up. That's my grandson here.
Six people on the pod this week, guys. That's a record, actually. but yeah, I'm going to agree with Alex exactly step for step, two for two, I think, wins against Orlando and Utah. But Brutus, man, thank you as always for joining. Yeah, I think it's our first multiple-time guest, right, guys?
If so, then I appreciate it, man. And thank you guys, man, for definitely having me. No question.
Yeah, so guys, if you are a Knicks fan, make sure to follow Brutus at BTrueTheLife on Twitter. Also, make sure to follow at Knicks Spaces, where they run a bunch of Twitter spaces about the team's pregame shows, postgame shows, all that great stuff. I mentioned to you, Brutus, earlier, I was in a couple of the spaces this week. Really good conversations, civilized conversations, unlike a lot of Twitter spaces can be. Hop into a Nets Twitter space from a couple days ago, and you'll see what I mean. For us, you can always follow the podcast at WW Knicks Podcast. You can also subscribe to the podcast on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcast. Wishing everybody a happy trade deadline. Go Knicks, and we'll see you guys next week.
All right, go Knicks.